Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and departed. We spent a little bit of time last week thinking about the incident of the young damsel who was released from the demonic possession that she was under, the spirit of soothsaying which she had by the Apostle Paul, and how as a result of that good work on behalf of that girl, that liberation from that spirit of oppression which was on her, because of the loss in revenue that her masters incurred, they brought Paul and Silas before the magistrates. There they were severely beaten with rods, we're told, on their bare backs. And then they were thrust into prison. Put into prison and put into stocks. And it's here that we pick up the story in Acts 16 and verse 25. And we discover that at midnight, Paul and Silas are singing and praying in the inner prison. This incident in the life of Paul and Silas is perhaps one of the most momentous in the Acts of the Apostles. It's one of those stories that if we are raised at all with any Bible knowledge, invariably we'll know from being children. And if David's deliverance, as we were reading together in the Psalm, in Psalm 54, if David's deliverance was amazing by the mobilizing of the nations around about Israel in order to providentially deliver him out of the hand of Saul, his enemy, then how much more amazing is this, that the very nature of this world itself, the very fabric of the pressures and the rocks and the earth itself, conspired to deliver Paul and Silas from their bondage. You know, we cannot begin to conceive of the power and the forces that our God has at his disposal to accomplish the salvation and the deliverance of his people. Let us never be cowed by this world. Let us never be afraid that this world can do to us beyond that which our God's shalls and wills enable and provide. What will God not do to deliver and to save his people? So here they are in the prison, and they're praying and they're singing, and undoubtedly in the quietness of that prison there in Philippi, their voices would carry right throughout the prison. And the other prisoners were listening to the praises of these men and the prayers that ascended to God. Perhaps they were praying even there, not just for their own circumstances, but for the town, for their captors, for the other prisoners, for the gospel there in Macedonia. And God heard them. As they prayed, we are reminded that God's people have cause to praise and worship our God, even in the midst of our trials. Nay, because we're in the midst of trials, because it is in those opportunities and occasions that we will see the delivering hand of God. Oh, if we just had the faith to go into every trial with that thought in our heart, that this is but an opportunity for our God to show his love and his kindness towards us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was not deterred by the prison gates that bound Saul and Paul and Silas. And he was willing and able to draw near to his people there in the darkness of their cell, in the stocks in which they were bound and under the beating which they had suffered. The earthquake, when it happened in deliverance of these men, was powerful. We're told that the foundation of the prison shook. So this was a real earthquake. If it shakes the foundations, it shakes everything above the foundations. And yet, the prison didn't collapse. The prison didn't fall. No prisoners were hurt. Paul and Silas were not injured by this earthquake. Yet it was sufficiently powerful to open every door in that prison and break all the shackles by which the prisoners were constrained. And yet, not one was hurt. One wonders why the prisoners didn't just immediately get up and run out the open doors. Here's a nice little thought. They had been so transfixed with the apostles' praises to God and the prayers that they were making to God and the momentous things that were going on around about them that they just wanted to wait and see what was going to happen next. See, when the Lord moves, he brings everything in that whole situation to play out according as his will desires. The jailer is an important part of this story, of course. He's a tough man. He's a man under authority, but probably a man who had seen action in his life. Often this was a way of retired senior military people getting a continuing career in the army without having to be on the front line. They were given what was regarded as being a relatively cushy job back in one of the provinces, which is what seems to be happening here. And so he's likely to have been a man of some robustness, some tenacity, some toughness in his character. But this night, something changed. Something changed that transformed him and converted him, led to his conversion. And that which changed was that here was a man who, despite all of his history, despite all of his experiences, despite of where he had been and what he had seen and what he had done, was a chosen vessel of God. A man that God was seeking for in this world. A man with his family that the Lord God had sent Paul and Silas out of that country of Turkey across into Europe in order to meet him. Nay, perhaps even got them into the prison where they would be able to witness to this man who would never, because of his own obligations and responsibilities, be found sitting under the teaching and the preaching of the gospel in a synagogue or at the side of a river. Have you ever thought about that as far as your troubles are concerned? That God put you there so that you could meet somebody else in the cauldron of your problems? Someone that you would never get a chance to speak to otherwise? I wonder how many of God's preachers have been put in prison over the years in order to speak to their prisoner, their prison warden, in order to speak to their fellow prisoners. And we say, oh, this is terrible, I'm in prison. Well, the Lord knows exactly what he's doing with his people. Waking from sleep, this Philippian jailer fears the loss of his prisoners. And he takes in quickly, even in the confusion of that moment, that he has failed. And he realizes the significance of the fact that while he was sleeping, the gates were opened. And he assumes that his prisoners have fled. Rather than face the consequences and the shame that that might bring, he draws the sword that he's wearing and he is about to take his life. I don't know how the Apostle Paul knew what was happening outside his own cell. I don't know how he perceived or was made aware of the circumstances. Perhaps it was just the Holy Spirit that gave him the information. But the Apostle cries out. He says, don't do yourself any harm. Everybody's here. No one has fled. They were in the inner part of the prison. How did they know what was going on in the outer part of the prison? But the Lord told them, it's okay. Things are going to work out all right. Do not take your life. You know, I think there were two earthquakes that night. There's the one that we've already spoken about. And there was another one that occurred in the soul of the Philippian jailer. Such a transformation. Such a change occurred. An effect transpired there by the power of God. Christ was at work in that man's life. God, the Holy Spirit, was leading him to that place of conversion. And here is a wonderful example of that grace and mercy of God. This man is literally, with his sword drawn, a moment from hell. A moment from hell. And he's restrained by the words of the Apostle Paul. What must I do to be saved? He cries. Here is a sinner with a felt need. He runs in to Paul and Silas, and they tell him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, sometimes we think that that's too easy, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the trauma of that moment, in the terror of that moment, here was a glimmer. Here was a light. He called for a light to be brought, but there already was a light. A light which had been sparked in this man's heart because he was one whom God was calling to himself and bringing to an experience of grace. And faith brings knowledge of sins forgiven. And faith and believing in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation for sinners in this world. And that is why it is a message which resonates not only around the stone walls of Philippian prisons, but down through the ages and the years of this world. It is the message that we preach still today. How can a man, how can a woman, how can a boy, how can a girl be saved? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved. You will be saved if you trust in the completed work and the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 32 says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." They spake to them the word of the Lord. They spoke to them about the words that the Lord had spoken. They spoke to him about the things that God had done. They spoke to him about the great purpose of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, about the gospel of mercy, about the cross, and about blood, and about forgiveness of sins. And that man's heart was opened, and his understanding was opened, and his spirit was quickened and enlivened, as was the spirits of those of his household amongst whom the apostle preached and taught. And what a change took place. From beating Paul, he is now bathing his wounds. From chaining him up, he is asking for his help. From self-destruction, he is seeking salvation. From spiritual darkness, he is trusting the light of the world. He found salvation that night by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he found peace in the midst of an earthquake. What a wonderful God we have to be able to reach his people in such strange and wonderful circumstances and yet secure their deliverance. Paul and Silas were to be released. The magistrates, perhaps aware of something which was going on in the prison, seemed to have changed their mind. Perhaps just the cold light of day or the opportunity to reflect caused them to think, you know what, we really just need to get these guys out of town. We need to get rid of them before they cause any more trouble or any more problems. And Paul says, no, that's not the way it's going to work. We're not going to carry the stigma of being ushered away as if we've done something wrong. We did nothing wrong. And by the way, we're Roman citizens. And I know that you were not allowed to do what you did to me. And suddenly, from being so irate and dramatic about what had gone on the previous day with this young woman, these men are cowering and shaking in their own boots and wondering what is going to happen to them when the Roman authorities under whose rule they were discovered that they had done this to a Roman citizen. Often in the way in which these things worked, it's perhaps true of the jailer himself. So that's the reason why he was ready to take his life, is because he knew that the crime that he had committed in letting these people go who were in his charge, he would be put into their place. Excuse me. Equally, these magistrates knew that having beaten a Roman citizen illegally, their sentence for that would be they would be beaten with the same rods that they had beaten Paul with, and they would be put into the same prison that they had been putting Paul and Silas into. So they knew what was at stake here. And they were greatly afraid because of it. They came and they asked for Paul's and Silas to leave graciously. They sent them away, and Paul and Silas went to Lydia's house, and there they spent some time with the saints at her home and no doubt introduced her to the jailer and his family, and then they left Philippi. But what had they left there? They'd left a little church. They'd left a little community of believers. They'd left Lydia and her household, and the jailer and his household. And in a few years, the apostle would be writing his book to the Philippians, his epistle of the Philippians. And that letter went to the church, which had been formed here on this occasion by the apostle in the household of Lydia and the Philippian jailer. What a lovely account we have here of God's salvation in the hearts of these individuals. And may the Lord bless us to remember that no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, He is in control, even to the very earth shaking, to accomplish His purposes and our deliverance. Amen.